Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Glory! Hallelujah! Isn't God good? You know, we had a plan of what we were going to do today, well, last week and today, but we haven't done it yet. Not going to do it today either. How many need a shot of faith?
Come on.
Amen. You know, I just feel like that maybe, you know, the new year is here and we've come through January. Praise the Lord. You made it. And so many people I've talked to, it just seems like that just the enemy and just everything is just trying to kick your butt. And it's just not going to happen. We just need to declare right now, the Lord spoke a word to us as a church that this was our year of breakthrough. Amen. Breaking through some things, breaking through some patterns in life, breaking through some things that just, you know, that just aren't ungodly, we could say, and just breaking through and really, really getting all that God has for us. And, you know, the enemy's not going to just lay down and say, oh, that's so great. I'm going to go mess with somebody else. You know, that's not how he works, right? And so he's going to try to discourage, depress, to distract you from what God has promised you for this year. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just want to, I have a series that we're going to be starting, and I just feel led to go this direction, and we're going to do a series on how to face the giants. How many got some giants in your life? You know, the Bible teaches us how to face those, how to have the victory, how to face them head on. We don't run from things. We run to things. Amen? We don't have to run from anything. But before we get to that series, I got a freebie for you. You guys like a freebie, right? And I want to just encourage you and give you a shot of faith today to remind you just how good God is, to remind you how big God is, to remind you of all the possibilities with the things of God, to remind you that we can't even, the Bible says that we can't even imagine, we don't have the ability to imagine the goodness that God has for us. We don't have it. That's how big God is. And so I want to give you, get your pen out, get your phone out, get something out to write this down. Amen? Because, you know, I was driving home from somewhere and I was talking to my friend and I said, man, we got to unpack what the Bible has. We keep taking it in and taking it in. And we remember that series that we were doing a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, we go to Publix and we get our groceries and we put them in the bags and it's our food, right? It's our food. And if we don't take that food out of the bag, what good does it do us? And so the word, what you get at church and what you get listening to the word and listening to good teaching and the devotionals that you're doing, you're packing the bag with all the word of God. But if you don't unpack it into your life, what good is it to you? It's just gonna sit on the vine and it's gonna spoil. God wants us to apply what we've gotten. And so to do that, it's gonna take some effort. Amen. The Bible says to take the time, make the time and the effort to make yourself spiritually healthy. Yeah. It's amazing to me how spiritually unhealthy we can let ourselves get.
Amen.
Don't shout me down now.
Amen.
Who says that? I forget who says that. I don't say that. Anyway, I got some big words for you today. Look at your neighbor and say, big words.
Big words.
Because we have a big God. You say, Peggy, I got big problems. That's all right. I got a big word for him.
Wow.
Amen? You say, I got some big problems. I got some big issues. Who doesn't? Right? Who doesn't? Everybody's got issues. Everybody's got big problems, but we got big words that God has given us, and we need to realize just how big these words are. And so, big words. Say it with me, big words.
Big words.
Here they are. You guys ready? Write these down. Whoever.
Whoever.
Whoever. Anything, whatever, all things, and this is one I love, always. So, whoever, anything, whatever, all things, and always. Oh, this is good. Look at your Bibles in John 3:16. It says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that, say that word with me, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Whoever. You know, we say the words like whoever and whatever. We're like, whatever. Whoever. You know, but they're powerful words. It's whoever. Let's stop looking at people like they're disqualified for the love of God. Amen. Let's stop looking at people. Nobody is disqualified. The only qualification to for the love of God, for the gift of Jesus, for salvation, is that you're a whoever. Quit letting the enemy talk you out of the fact that God loves you, that God is for you, that God wants the best for you, that God's on your side, that God gave his son for you. Quit letting the enemy talk you out of it, because if you'll let the enemy talk you out of how much God loves you, you will not expect God to do big things for you. Amen. You will not expect God to come through for you. You know, I'm very blessed. I'm super blessed. I know that I'm blessed. I have a fantastic father, naturally. My biological father is amazing, and he's been a great dad to me every day of my life. Every day of my life. There is no doubt to me that whatever I needed, he would do for me. That I could go to him in any condition, in any state, that he would love me, he would help me, he would fight for me, he would be there for me. There's no doubt. None. And I know that I'm blessed, and I know everybody doesn't have that relationship, but recognize who the author of that is. That's the enemy. The enemy's trying to rob you of understanding the love of a father. And if the enemy can get you to think that God doesn't love you, how could God love me? How could God love me? But you know what? Good fathers love us no matter what.
Amen.
And you may not have had a good biological father, or a good stepfather, or just a good male in your life. But you know what? God the Father, he wants to change how you think about a father.
Amen.
He wants to tell you what a real father does. And a real father loves you. And the next time the enemy tells you that God doesn't love you, you need to say, God loves whoever.
Amen.
God loves whoever.
Amen.
What's the word whoever mean? Whoever. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. You know, sometimes we try to think there's some big theological explanation to make words not mean what they mean. No, words mean what they mean.
How about that?
Whoever means whoever. Quit letting the enemy talk you out of that God loves you. God loves whoever. Doesn't matter what sin you have. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter how many times you've tried and failed. Doesn't matter how on you are or how off you stand. How God loves you. God loves you. And when you understand how much God loves you, man, you know he's fighting for you. You know that he'll do it again. You know that he's on your side. You know that there's nothing he would withhold from you because he loves you. God loves whoever. Amen? That's a big word. You know, the enemy's trying to divide, and he's trying to convince people that God doesn't love certain people or God doesn't love you, and that's just frankly not true. God loves whoever. He loves the least. He loves the most. He loves the in-betweens. He loves the somebodies. He loves the nobodies, and he doesn't see any different between the two.
Amen.
God loves whoever. Amen? Isn't that what it says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever, God loved the world. There's no exclusion to God's love. None. That's good news. Next word, anything. Anything. Jeremiah 32:27 says, this is God talking. He says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there, say it with me, anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for God? Then why do we withhold things from him? I've shared this story before, but I remember one time I was just going through a particularly difficult time, and I was sitting in my office at home, and Scott and I joke, we have a one-bedroom, two-office home. That's so none of my relatives can come and stay with us. And so I was sitting there, and I was just sitting there doing nothing. I was just sitting there thinking about the problem and just thinking about, well, what if this happens and this happens and, oh, this is bad. And, you know, and you've done that too. And I was just sitting there. And just on the inside, just that still small voice rose up on the inside of him, and he said, the enemy loves it when your mouth is shut. Because when we don't give what's going on to our in our lives, and we don't give the problem, we don't seek God, we don't go to God with stuff, we just sit and think about it. Listen, thinking about something and praying about it and standing in faith are two different things. I don't really care if you think about me, but I do really care if you pray for me. And those are two different things. I can think about something all day long, but that is completely different from praying about it. Completely different. And so we sit and think about stuff, or we think because of something we've done or we failed, we don't give it to the Lord. And I always say this, it doesn't matter how you got into a pit in your life. It doesn't matter if you fell in by accident. It doesn't matter if you got pushed in. It doesn't matter if you jumped in. God will still pull you out. And there's nothing that's too hard for God.
Nothing.
So whatever that situation is, maybe it's that marriage that seems like it's irreparable. Maybe it's that kid that seems like they're never coming back to the Lord. God said, is there anything too difficult for him? And there isn't. So whatever's going on in our life, God wants to handle it for us because he loves us. And it's not too big for him. And we need to remind ourselves of that. And here's how you know if you're living that truth. There's one thing to hear a truth. There's another thing to live a truth. If you are overwhelmed and feeling hopeless and feeling like nothing will change and constantly frustrated, you are not living the truth that God is big enough for anything. Because when you feel overwhelmed, when you feel like nothing will change, you're forgetting that the God of the universe is on your side. You're forgetting the God of the universe said, is there anything too big for me? You're forgetting that the God of the universe loves you. He gave Jesus for you. The Bible says, what would he withhold from you if he gave you his son? Would he withhold anything? No. Is anything too hard for me? See, God already knows the answer to that question. He wants to know if you know. Amen. He wants to know if you know. He's asking us, is anything too hard? Then why are you acting like you're going down the drain? Is anything too hard? Then why are you acting like it's over? Is anything too hard? Then why are you acting like you're the loser in this situation? Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing. He said, is anything? So when I look at situations in my life and they look overwhelming and they look like, man, I don't know how this is going to happen, I need to remind myself, I'm a whoever God loves me, and he can do anything. There is nothing too big for him. There is nothing too big. And we need to remind ourselves of what God has done. And you say, well, God hasn't. Well, remind yourself what God's done in my life. Amen. Remind yourself what God did in the Old Testament for his people. Remind yourself what he did for his people in the New Testament. Remind yourself of who God is. Amen. Man, I sit and I remind myself, Lord, I thank you that you have always come through. There has been times where just in finances, man, it looked like, woo, this isn't looking good. But boom, God shows up in ways that you couldn't even make that happen. I couldn't even make that happen. And he does it in spite of me. In spite of me, he does it. There have been just healing in my body. Oh, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that God has healed me so many times. And I joke about it. And you know, I joke. I say, you know what? Don't even try to talk to me that God doesn't come through, because he's done it too many times. You're talking to the wrong person. I've seen too much. God can do anything. Not only can he wants to. He wants to. He wants to. The next resource, it's whoever, anything. Next one, whatever. Let's say it with a little attitude. Whatever. Not whatever, but whatever. The Bible says in Mark 11:23, it's the New King James, he says, "For assuredly I say to you," who's he talking to? He's talking to me. "For assuredly I say to you," and right before this is when Jesus shows the disciples with the fig tree. He shows them the power of God, and they're amazed, and they're like, "Whoa, didn't you talk to this tree yesterday? Look at this. What you said happened." And Jesus says, "Listen, it's not just for me, it's for you. It's not just for me, it's for you," he's saying. He said, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever," here's that word again, "whoever," who qualifies for a miracle? I do. Amen. You need to say that. Who qualifies for a miracle? I do. I do. Not because I'm good, not because I get it all right, not because of that. No, I qualify because Jesus said I'm a whoever. He says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain," man, who's got some mountains in your life? Mountains are troubles. They're problems. They're obstacles. They're things standing in the way of forward movement. He says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain." Listen, you can walk around the mountain for 40 years if you want, or you can start speaking to it. Amen? It's up to us. We can walk around it and be like, "Oh man, this is tough. Oh man, this is hard. Nothing ever works for me. God always shows up for other people, but he don't show up for me. This faith stuff don't work." And you're just going to keep walking around and around, and every year is going to look the same, just get a little bit worse. Or you can say, "I'm a whoever, and I'm going to start speaking to my mountain. I'm not going to pretend it's not there." Faith doesn't put its head in the sand. Faith doesn't deny that there's trouble in our lives. Faith speaks to it. He says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that things he says will be done, he will have," say the word with me, "whatever he says." Now, some people, you know, they get all wacky with this verse. And they're like, I'm going to start speaking and say, "Oh, I'm going to have $1 million. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." You know, the Bible says that when we abide in him and he abides in you, amen, we got to get with Jesus. And when we get with Jesus, the disciples were walking with Jesus. And he's talking to them and he says, "Listen, you can speak to things. You can speak to things by faith. You can have what you say. But you got to say it. You got to say it." He says, "You'll have whatever you say." And if we don't doubt in our heart, and this is one of the best lessons I ever learned in my whole life, my entire life, just straighten me out. Help me beyond belief. I want to help you today. You can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. Did you hear that? You can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart. Your head is made to think naturally. Your head is made to have common sense. Amen? That's how your head is made. That's your mind. Your mind. And you can have some doubt in your head where you're like, "Man, I don't know how that's going to work." But faith rises up in your heart or in your spirit, man. We say, "Nope, God's word is more true than what I see. God's word is more true than 1 + 1 = 2. God's word is more true than that." I can have doubt in my head where those thoughts come. How many know those thoughts come? Those thoughts come and say, "How's it going to work? Is God going to do it again? You're going under. This isn't working. This marriage will never change." And all that doubt comes. But you know what? I got to speak to that mountain and say, "No, you will move in the name of Jesus. I'm going to have what I say." And I say that every need I have is met. I say that my body is healed and healthy and whole. I say that I have the mind of Christ. I say that I have a great marriage. I say that people rise up and they hear the word and their lives are transformed as a result of this ministry. That's what I say. But it doesn't always look that way. And sometimes the enemy will come and he'll be like, "Oh, but this happened. Oh, but this happened." And those thoughts will come. And when those thoughts come, I can't just throw it all out and say, "Oh, I thought I was in faith. Thought I was in faith, but I'm not in faith at all." That's what I did when I was young, when I was when I first got into the things of God. And every time I would be like, man, you know, I remember I just had I'll give you a testimony. I had a problem with my jaw. I, you know, grew up in high school. I started having a pretty serious issue with my jaw where it would lock. You know, lock jaw, that's a real thing. And my jaw would lock up. And so I had to go to all these doctors, all these things, and had to do all this stuff. And I was a musician at the time. I know, it sounds, you know, I was. And so anyway, and it really affected a lot of things. I mean, I had plans to play forever. And so, you know, this it just really affected me, and it was a big deal. And I was new in the things of God. And so my brother would tell me, he'd say, Peggy, you need to speak to your body. You need to thank God for your healing. Now listen, if you don't know anything about faith, keep coming back, amen? But this is a shot in the arm day. Amen. This is a shot in the arm day. This is a day to remind you of who God is and what His Word says. Don't give up on the things of God. Amen. Don't think just because you have a negative thought, you're done. And that's how I was. Because I didn't know. I thought whatever I thought was true. One of the best lessons you can learn is every thought in your head is not true. Amen. Every thought in your head is not God. Every thought in your head is not true. Every thought in your head is not healthy. Every thought in your head is not for you.
Come on.
Amen. Man, you get that lesson, you're gonna go far in life. And so I would stand, and I would speak the word, and I would do all the things that I felt like I was supposed to do, and I would think, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm healed. And then, you know, my jaw would lock, and I'd be like, the enemy would say, oh, this isn't working. I'd be like, yeah, this isn't working. Oh, man, you know, I must have messed up. This isn't working. I took it all on me like it was my job to heal me. It's not my job to heal me. It's God's job.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? And I would be, that thought would come and say, oh, this isn't working. This isn't this faith stuff. It's not, you know, this is God trying to teach you something. And all this kind of crazy stuff I would get in my head. And I'd just be like, man, I really thought I was in faith. And then I would just give up on it. I just give up. Wouldn't even think about it again. Just be like, oh, that didn't work. That didn't work. How many of us have done that over our finances? Oh, that didn't work. That tithing didn't work. That giving didn't work. That speaking didn't work. Might as well go back to how I was doing it. What happened? You got doubt in your head. And you let that doubt in your head be the boss of you. You need to tell that doubt in your head, you're not the boss of me. You don't tell me what to think. You don't dictate my faith life, because the Bible says that I say it and I don't doubt in my heart. That's my spirit. And so when that thought comes, you need to just tune to your spirit and say, nope, here's what the word says. I'm going to tell my mind how to think. I'm going to let what's down here move up here. Amen? Man, that's one of the best lessons in faith you can learn. Sometimes things don't look like they're going to change, just like we sang in that song. Sometimes things don't look like they're going to change. They don't look like it's going to get better. But we've got to keep speaking the word. Amen? Because the word is more true than any situation, than any circumstance. And the word applied long enough to any situation will change it. We got God's word on that. Either God is a liar or that's the truth. I'm going to go with God. Amen. I'm going to go with God on that. I'm going to go with God on that. But, you know, so many faith people, you know, we raised under Brother Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. We've read all the books. We've done all that. And we know this verse backwards and forwards. And we know the next one it says that we got to walk in love. We know. We got to not just know it. We got to live it.
Come on.
And when it gets tough, let's not take our foot off the gas. Let's not forget the things God told us to speak to. Don't forget your fig tree you're speaking to. Don't forget the mountain that you're speaking to. Don't just get so comfortable with a mountain in your life, it just becomes part of your life. Isn't that what happens?
Yeah.
It's just such, we're so comfortable with doubt. It just has become part of our life. We're so comfortable with sickness sometimes. It becomes part of our life. We're so comfortable. Listen to me. You've gotten so comfortable with lack. You're like, this is how it is. No, that is not how it is. That is not how it's supposed to be. Let's not get so comfortable with a mountain we just start walking around it. Just walking around it. Anybody got something at your house? You know, I have a couple of boxes that I need to return. How many are bad at returns? I'm just bad at returns. I hate returning stuff. I just hate returning stuff. I make Christina do it, really, to be honest with you. You know, I don't like returning things. But I got like four boxes have been sitting on my coffee table. And they've been sitting there since we did the fast because I didn't need to see the TV because I wasn't watching TV. So I have these four boxes I need to return. And they've been sitting there for weeks. And I don't like clutter at all. I don't like clutter. But I've gotten so comfortable with these boxes sitting there that I actually found myself moving them and moving them back. I moved them to like wipe the table and I moved them back. And I thought, what in the world? This is not where these go. And I'm a everything has a place person. But they've just been sitting there along with a giant notebook like this thick, sitting on top of it. It's my take to the office pile. What have you gotten comfortable with in your life that you're not speaking to anymore? We can get comfortable with a bad marriage. You can get comfortable with a bad marriage. You can get comfortable with a marriage that just keeps pulling further and further apart. You're just like, oh, that's how it is. Been married this long, it's how it is. No, that's not how it is. It is if you let it be that way. Or we get comfortable with sickness. Oh, everybody gets the flu. Everybody gets the cold. Listen, if you can't speak the word over a cold, over the flu, what makes you think you're going to be able to speak it over something big? You need to look at that cold or that flu or that post-nasal drip or whatever it is. You need to look at that as training ground. This is a training ground, because if I can't do it for this, man, how am I going to do it for something big, right? What have we gotten so comfortable with, we're just walking around? We're just moving it from one place in our life to another. We need to speak to things. Amen? God gave us the gift of faith. The Bible says to every man is given a measure of faith. Every single one of us has a measure of faith. It was given to us. We got to use it. Amen. You know, I say this, sometimes we can be in church so long that we forget what it means to be saved. We forget what faith is. We forget what the power of healing is for. We forget because we just get so comfortable. We get so comfortable. Man, I pray that we get a Holy Ghost uncomfortable move in our lives. Oh, man, I'm so uncomfortable with that. I'm so uncomfortable with that because you don't fit. Anybody wear something that doesn't fit? You ever wore pants that are too tight? You're just like, oh, they'll stretch, and then they didn't, right? Like, oh, they'll stretch, and then it didn't. And you're just like, it's just, I mean, isn't that the worst? I mean, it's the worst, right? It's the worst. You're so uncomfortable. It's like every move is like, oh, you know? You're like, please don't anything pop, right? Please. Man, I pray that we get so uncomfortable with things that are not where they're supposed to be in our life. We get so uncomfortable with living below the level that God has for us. We get so uncomfortable with things that are unholy. Man, I want to be so uncomfortable with stuff that is unholy where I can't even stand for it to be near me. I don't want to be comfortable with stuff. You know, I was talking to somebody about a TV show they were watching. I was like, man, you shouldn't be watching that. I mean, this show is just full of just nudity and all this crazy. You know what they said to me? They looked me right in the eye and they go, oh, that stuff doesn't bother me. Wow. And I looked back at them and I said, you know what? That's the problem. Go ahead. It should bother you. It should. What does light have to do with darkness? Man, I want to be so uncomfortable. So uncomfortable that I speak to that stuff. I don't let it just sit in my life. Man, let's not let stuff sit. Don't let that mountain sit in your life. We need to speak to it and say, you have got to go. You don't belong here. I'm a child of God. I'm a whoever. And God can do anything. And he said that I could speak to whatsoever. Amen? And it had to go. What needs to go? What needs to go? That's just got to go. It's got to go. Amen? But we gotta kick it in gear. Kick it in gear. Man, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, show me whatever has to go. I don't want anything in my life that's going to hinder me from having and doing what God's called me to do. How about you? Amen? Whatever. For assuredly I say to you. For assuredly I say to you. This is Jesus talking. He said, for assuredly. He's saying, it's a sure thing. It's assured. Amen? It's assured. I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his where?
Heart.
But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. I got to speak to it. That's why you don't wait till you feel better to start saying you're healed. He says you're going to have whatever you say. So let's say it now. Lord, I thank you my body is healed, that it works properly, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. I'm the healed of the Lord. By your stripes, I was healed. Amen. The Bible says to call those things that be not as though they were. You may have a terrible marriage, but you know what you need to say? I got a great marriage. I got a great marriage. Here's why. Because God is moving in my heart. God is moving in my husband's heart. God is speaking to us. God is teaching us. We have ears to hear and hearts that are open for correction and direction. Amen. We need to speak this. So you say, well, my husband won't even come to church. Well, start speaking over him. Amen. Start speaking over him. It's not, and you say, well, that just seems weird. You can either check out because it seems weird, or you can check in because it's in the Bible. It's up to you. Amen. That's just the truth. There's a lot of things God does that seems weird. Praying in the Spirit is weird. Laying hands on the sick is weird. Calling things that be not as though they were is really weird. But God said that's faith.
That's right.
I speak to things. I speak to things. Because that's what God's word said to do. Yeah. Amen? I'd rather be weird and have God do it God's way than be normal and look like everybody else.
Woo.
I'm not interested in looking like everybody else. I'm not interested. I really, frankly, I'm not interested in what you think. I'm interested in what God thinks. I'm interested in doing it God's way. And Jesus himself spoke to a fig tree, and when he spoke to it, it changed. And he said, listen, you can do the same thing. You can speak to stuff and it changes because of the power of God. You can speak to stuff. And that may seem strange, may seem weird, but really, I don't care. They thought Jesus was strange and weird too. But when they walked back by that fig tree, they were amazed. Man, I want to see people to, and people already do. When people see my life, man, knowing where I've come from and where I am now, people are like, man, that's amazing. I'm like, that's God. I look at my marriage when, woo, it was a tough one at the beginning. And I look at it now and I'm like, thank God, I'm amazed. I am amazed I am still married. I'm amazed that Scott is still married to me. I really am, because I'm just such a handful. I'm amazed. I'm amazed.
Hallelujah.
I'm like, we've been married over 20 years, 24 years this year. Still going strong, still happy, like each other. Man, if you can still like each other after that many years, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But I tell you what, it's not me, it's not him, it's God. It's the power of God.
Hallelujah.
Speaking over and loving each other and sowing into each other. It's doing it God's way, not the world's way.
Yeah.
It not the world's way. The world's way would be like, make sure your needs are met, make sure your needs are met. God says, meet their needs. God says, meet their needs. That's totally different. Listen, God's way is different. It goes against the flow. It looks different. It sounds different. We are different. We're supposed to be different. I don't want to be like the world. I don't want worldly results. I want godly results in my life. And to have godly results in my life, I got to speak to mountains. I got to do things that seem weird to my natural mind. I got to do that because that's what God said. I don't want a natural life. I want a supernatural life. And in order to have a supernatural life, I got to do it God's way. Man, quit walking around that mountain of a bad marriage. Quit walking around that mountain of your needs not being met. Quit walking around that mountain of being depressed and in despair and overwhelmed. Quit walking around that mountain and start speaking to it. Yes. Amen. Let's stop just talking about what's going on in our nation and let's start speaking the word over our nation. Let's start praying over our nation. Listen, talk is cheap, but prayer is powerful.
Yes.
Prayer is the most you can do over any situation. The most you can do. But we love to just talk. We love to talk about our problems. We love to talk about how we feel. We love to talk about how screwed up things are. We love to talk. But man, let's be different. And the next time somebody wants to start talking about politics and they're going off, say, hey man, let's just pray about it.
How about that?
They want to start talking about somebody they don't like. Hey, let's pray for them. Because that's where power is. Power is in prayer. It's in speaking to things. It's in doing God's way. Amen? I tell you, I'm so tired of walking around stuff. You know what? When I get home, I'm going to take care of those boxes. What do we got to take care of? Listen, quit feeling like you're drowning in debt and start speaking to it. Amen. Make this year be the year you're a good steward. Let this be the year you learn how to handle your money. Let this be the year that you make some changes. Let this be the year that you speak to that mountain. You speak to it. Say, not this year. This year's going to be different because you got to go. You got to go. All right, let's keep going. Next one is all things. All things. For with God, all things are possible. These are big words. These are big words. Whoever, whatever, whatsoever, all things. All things are possible. The world has conditioned us to think naturally. And I'm not, you know, some of you may already be checked out. Like, man, that's too much for me. Well, that's your choice. It's your choice. But I'm going to make mine. I'm going to stop looking at stuff through the eyes of limitation. Let's stop looking at things through the eyes of limitation. Let's stop looking at people like they can't change. Amen? That person that you've been praying for, that family member, and the enemy's telling you, oh, they're never going to change. They're never going to change. What if they do?
Yeah.
Amen? What if they do? What if the word of God works?
It works.
Amen. I'm so thankful. I know that the enemy told my brother when he was standing and praying for me that I would never change. He told me that. He said, the enemy's always telling me that you're never going to change. But you know what? I'm a living testimony that people can change.
Yes.
I am a living, walking, serving Jesus testimony that nobody can go too far. And of the power of prayer.
Amen.
The power of prayer. Keep praying for that family member.
Yes.
Keep speaking the word over that kid that's going crazy. Keep speaking the word because the Bible says, for God, all things are possible. All things are possible. All things are possible. Quit looking at that debt and saying, man, we're never going to be out of debt. All things are possible.
Come on.
Amen? All things are possible. Quit looking at your past and saying, oh, I'll never be able to do anything because of this. All things are possible.
Yes.
Amen? God has a reputation of taking really, really, really screwed up people and making them into something amazing. Amen? God has a reputation of taking impossible situations and making them possible. It's like his way of showing off. Look what I did. You know, you look at, I love because we sing the song, No Longer a Slave to Fear. And one of the lines is that you split the sea so I could walk right through it. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. And that comes from the Old Testament when the Lord split the sea so the children of Israel could walk right through it. And if he did it for them, he'll do it for you. He did. He could have done it. He could have taken them around. He could have just stopped the army, couldn't he? But he did it in a big way. Because he's a big God. And he can do all things. There's nothing impossible with God. Quit thinking it's never going to change and start reminding yourself that all things are possible with God. Amen? Because we are as believers, we're starting to think, oh man, that's never going to change. I'm never going to get out of debt. My marriage is never going to change. My kids are never going to serve the Lord. I'm never going to be happy. Whatever it is, it's never, never, and never. We need to stop that nonsense and say, you know what? All things are possible with God. I'm going to go all in with God. Isn't that what we said? We're not going to have anything above God in our life. We're going to say no to our flesh. And we're going to go all in with God. That's what we said we would do this year as a church.
That's right.
We would have nothing before God. God would be first in our life. We would say no to ourselves. When our flesh wants to pull us in a direction that's not godly, we're going to say no to it. And we're going to go all in with God. And man, when we do that, Stuff's going to happen. But man, the enemy's trying everything he can to get you to pump the brakes. He's trying everything he can to get you discouraged. He's trying everything he can to get me discouraged, to get me distracted. Man, just in this week, we've had, you know, two major health issues happen within our church. We have actually major health issues with people. We've had, you know, just crazy stuff happening. I sat and held somebody's hand and they looked at me and they said, I am not going to have this kind of a year, because it just seemed like an avalanche of things that had come on. And you know what? I know if that's happening with these few, it's happening with the rest of us too. And so I'm here to tell you, we need to get these big words moving out of our mouths. We need to get big words, because big words hook up with big faith. And when you have big faith, it's because you know you got a big God.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Don't take your foot off the gas. Don't do that. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. He wants you to go back coasting. He wants you to go back just walking around those mountains. He wants you to go back to before you knew there was breakthrough for you. And you got to say no. That's part of that saying no. No is an anointed word, and it's a full sentence. No. No. When the enemy comes and says, oh, this ain't working, you say, no. No. It's never going to. It is changing. No. It is going to change. It's changing right now. It is changed. God is at work in me. God, I say that over myself constantly. Lord, I thank you. You are at work. You are at work in me. You are at work in situations in my life. I am not alone. I am not without help. I am not without the victory. Victory has a name. His name is Jesus. Amen. I declare, I mean, there are some things in my life right now that doesn't look like victory is anywhere near. But you know what I do? I say, I declare victory in this area. I declare victory. I will not be defeated. Pastor Hagen says that. He says, I will not be defeated and I will not quit. And we need to say that, because we got to get your mouth moving, because the enemy loves it when your mouth is shut. He loves it when you just don't say anything and you're just like, because we're so programmed and we're so conditioned and we've got good habits of not saying anything negative. Like, oh, you know, I don't want to say anything. But man, you got to speak the word. That's why the confession, a daily confession is so powerful. I set the course of my life today with my words. I declare a thing and it is so. That's from the word of God. Amen. We need to remember all things. For with God, all things are possible. Everybody might be saying, man, that's never going to change. That's never going to work. You're never going to walk in healing. You're always going to be going around this mountain. And we need to be like, all things, buddy, all things.
Glory.
Amen. My God's an all things God. There's There's no diagnosis that's too much for him. There's no level of debt that's too much for him. There's no level of despair, no level of depression, no level of lack, no level, no level. And no devil that's too big for him. My God's an all things God. All things are possible. All things are possible. Quit looking at your spouse like you're never going to love them again and remind yourself that all things are possible. Amen. Amen. Quit looking at your marriage and saying, man, this thing is dead. No, say, all things are possible. I speak life into this marriage right now in Jesus' name. I speak life into my heart. I speak life into my love for you. I choose to love you. Man, every marriage, you got to do that sometimes. But it's doing it. And then the last one is always. Oh, this is so good. I hope you're writing these down. Always. Always. How long is always?
Always.
If something is always, is it ever not always? If something is always, is it ever not that way? No, it's always that way. Always. It never varies. It never changes. We use that word so much we forget how powerful it is. Because we say, you always forget. Well, that's not the truth. They remembered once. You always forget to take out the trash. No, they probably took it out once, right? Well, then it's not an always. Always is always. There are very, very few things that are always. Very few things are always. And God is one of them. He says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, now thanks be to God, who always, when?
Always.
Always leads us in triumph in Christ. Every time God's going to lead you to victory.
Come on.
Every time God is leading you to triumph. Every time God has victory for you. He says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Always. God's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's never done with you. He's never over you. He's never rolling his eyes at you. That's what people do. That's God is always for you. He will never, ever, ever not be for you.
Never.
He always leads us in triumphant in Christ. In Christ. Always. Always. Don't give up on the things of God. Don't give up on the way of God. Don't give up on the will of God. Don't give up on the word of God. You say, man, I can never give up on God. When God is not a part of your everyday life, what do you call that? What do we call that? When God's just, he's not infused in us. What do we call that? When we give up on things in our life, what do we call that? Just taking a break? Man, if you're taking a break from your faith, kick back in. Amen. Clock back in. If you're taking a break of pushing in the spirit, clock back in. Amen. Because there's work to do. There's work to do. Let's clock back in. God needs us to be people of faith. People of faith believe that what I see is not what there is. People of faith believe God's word is bigger. God's word is true. That my reality must line up with the word. Amen? My reality must line up with the word. Because there's something happening in the spirit. It happens in the spirit. And when we speak the word, God is lining things up and he's changing what we see and what we live and what's going on. He changes that. And it's changed by faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 1, it says, now faith is. Your faith is for right now.
Right now.
Right now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. You want to see something different in your life? Then get your faith working. Amen. Get your faith working. You say, oh, my faith is a little rusty. I forget how it works. I haven't done it in so long. Well, get your books out. Read the books. Listen to the teaching. Get the word of God out and get going.
How about that?
Amen. Amen. Get going. That's how you're going to change what you see. That's how you're going to change those mountains in your life, and they move. That's how your marriage is going to change. That's how your finances are going to change. That's how your kids are going to come back to the Lord. That's how things change. That's how our nation is going to be changed. Not by talking. It's going to be changed by the power of God. There's nothing that can change this nation except the power of God. Man, I was reading an article. I wish I hadn't read it. I was reading an article, and it grieved me so much. I was like, who wrote this? And I was just so, I was disgusted by it. I was like, who wrote this? And then on the inside, the Lord said, they need prayer. Because it was an article about how Christians have a victim mentality, that we're acting like the victims because our beliefs don't line up with culture. And I thought to myself, I am not a victim. You can say whatever you want, but I am not a victim. I'm a child of the Most High God. And God's way is true. And God's way is right. And I thought, who in the world would have such a crazy thinking that they would think that? And then the Holy Ghost is just like, they don't need you to argue with them. They need you to pray for them. I was like, Lord, I don't want to pray for this woman. I was so aggravated when I read that article. I was just like, what kind of crazy is this? Man, don't think that things aren't going to change unless you start walking in the power of God. Because that's the only thing that changes things. We need the power of God to change our life. We need it in our nation. We need it in our, but you know what? We want to change the nation before we change our lives. You got to change your life first. Right. Amen. Right. You can't take care of anybody else, so you take care of you. Let's take the time and the trouble to get ourselves spiritually fit. Let's kick back into gear. I remember when I first learned how to drive a 5-speed, a manual transmission. Just out of curiosity, who in here knows how to drive a manual transmission? Raise your hand. Good for you. There was a thing on the news the other day that a guy tried to steal a car, but it had a manual transmission, so he couldn't steal it. And he got caught. He got caught because he couldn't get away. He couldn't get away. But how many of us remember when you first learned how to drive a manual transmission? You stalled a few times, right? You stalled a few times. You let the clutch out. Some of you are like, clutch, what is that? It's the extra pedal. It's the extra pedal. And so you stalled a few times. And you couldn't get that balance of the gas and the clutch, right? That's the tough part about it. But then once you got it, it just became second nature to you. And you know what? That might be where you are with your growth in faith. You're like, you know what? I just feel like I've stalled a few times. You know, some stuff didn't work out, and you know, I felt like I was doing everything I was supposed to do, but it didn't work out. Listen, you stalled a couple times. Don't get out of the car and let it roll down the hill. Oh, amen. Wow. Don't get out of the car and let it roll down the hill, man. That car's got a great ride for you. Get back in the car. Yeah. Keep working it. Yeah. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing. This message that I've just taught today, this is a shot in the arm for people who know how faith works. If you're here and you're like, I don't think I really know how faith works, well then start learning. You might stall out at first. You need to get the rhythm of it. You need to get it. It comes by hearing the word, hearing and hearing. Amen? That's why there's great resources available to you. There's the word of God, of course, is the number one resource. There's Brother Hagin. He will teach you faith. The Lord told Brother Hagin, teach my people faith. And that was his mandate while he was on the earth. And you know what? He taught us faith. He taught us faith. So grab a Brother Hagin book. A good one to start with is this, How Faith Works. How Faith Works. How about that? But don't just sit there rolling down the hill because you can't figure out how to go forward. You can do it. You're gonna get that balance of the clutch and the gas. You got it in first gear, and next thing you know, you're just like, right? Remember that? You're like giving everybody whiplash in the car. And then, you know, your dad's looking at you like, oh my gosh, right? And you're like, I can do it. I can do it, Dad. and the gears are grinding, right? How many remember those days? Some of you young people are like, I don't know what you're talking about. But then you get it. You get it. And then there's so that you get it and you go. And we're moving and things are happening. And then things are going good. And what do? We take our foot off the gas. We start coasting. The Lord spoke a word to me and he said this to me. He said, Peggy, I love when God says my name because that means I really need to listen. You know, just in prayer, just on the inside, not an audible voice, just inside voice. And I was crying out to the Lord about some situation. And he said, Peggy, don't take your foot off the gas. Don't take your foot off the gas. This is your year of breakthrough. I believe that's true for us as a church. But the enemy is trying to break your leg. He's trying to get you to run out of gas. He's trying to convince you you don't know how to drive. He's trying to convince you you're never going to get it. He's trying to give, or he's just got you so distracted that your head's somewhere else. And I'm here to tell you what the Lord spoke to me. And he reminded me of these big words. Don't take your foot off the gas. Let's keep pushing. Your family needs you. Your family needs you. I'm so thankful that I come from a legacy of faith. Man, without my brother having his foot on the gas, I would be in hell right now. That is a truth. My brother Mike would be in hell right now. That is a truth. My sister-in-law Donna would be in hell because he was used by God to save us. Because he never took his foot off the gas. I'm thankful. Man, your family needs you. My family needs me. The world, not to be dramatic, but the world needs you. Amen. The world needs to see that a life with Christ is attractive. The world needs to see that a life with Christ is filled with joy and filled with good things, the good things of God. The Bible says that God daily loads me with benefits. The world needs to see the goodness of God, not the despair of Christians who are acting like victims. Amen? The world needs you to put your foot on the gas. Let's pray together.